Hey there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this. It's men's breakfast time. Yes, I admit, my favorite time each month within our local church. We get together once a month on a Saturday morning, men's breakfast. We get to feed, we get fed, fill our bellies. We get to feed on the Word of God, the bread of life, and of course get that all-important fellowship, which we build that community and the friendships that we have with our brothers in Christ. And I believe this is all important, incredibly important, especially as times are becoming more and more challenging each and every day. We need to be able to connect and pull on each other's strength as we look to the Lord to help us through these times. Yes, absolutely. Well, this month, as we do each month, we bring a topic forward, something which is good for discussion afterwards as well. So we'll do, say, 30 minutes for the breakfast, 30 minutes for a message, and then at least 30 minutes for discussion in small group tables of 5-6 people each. And our topic for this month is respect. Specifically, we're looking at respect for the man. Now, if you, like me, have done a few more laps around the sun than others, even in my time, I've seen respect for the position of the man in the family, in the workplace, in the community. I have seen this drastically fall in the past, you know, more recent years, the last 10, 15 years, certainly the last 5, absolutely. Maybe you too have noticed such a thing. Well, today we are going to look at this topic of respect. Is it indeed important? Specifically, we're looking at biblical respect. But before we begin, I do have a couple of questions for you, 3 questions, and this is for you to give thought to. So if you're taking notes, perhaps just jot these down, pause, jot it down. And I would encourage you as we go, as we have finished this, to pause, to take some time and consider these things, these points, these issues which we'll bring up today, as if they were points of discussion. Of course, we're just sitting across the table here by video. But the first question for you to consider is, do you feel, this is in your life, how you feel, do you feel you are respected by your colleagues? Think of work, perhaps, in the workplace. Are you respected by your colleagues in maybe there's a sports group that you are part of, or another social group outside of church? Do you feel that you are respected? You carry with you that air of respect. Men meet you, they respect you. Second question, what about within the family? Your mother, your father, do you feel respected by them for the life choices that you've made? How about your children? Do you feel respected by them? What about the extended family outside those also? Another one, food for thought, within the church. Do you feel that you are respected by the members of the church, the congregation, the general congregation? How about those in leadership? What about those in the pastoral team? How do you feel? Do you feel respected? Now, respect for men, it is an integral part of our makeup, our psychology. Yes, I'm going to talk about the brain just for one moment. It is an integral part of how we value and how we feel about ourselves from what others say on the outside. True. So I guess that brings another question to mind. The question is, do you respect yourself? Now, all of these things, we see good instruction in Scripture. I have a note here, Proverbs 22, verse 1. Jot that down. Come back and have a look later. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. It also goes on to say that loving favor rather than silver or gold. But all of these questions that I have just asked you, they are often seen as we look at others and we see that outside appearance. But I want to talk today about biblical respect, something very, very different. Biblical respect comes from internal. Internal, of course, then reflected through the external. So my favorite Bible verse of all time, one which we had opportunity to discuss quickly on the Saturday, Matthew 6:33. Therefore, seek the kingdom of God. Seek first. That's key. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and then all things, and then all things shall be added unto you. In fact, in my version, New King James, but seek first, but meaning following on from what was previously written, but seek first. This is internal. And I encourage one of our younger men to give thought and to spend some time seeking the Lord and reading Scripture to understand that verse in its context, but also in its application. Two different things. So let's dig in. Let's have a look a little bit further. These are questions which I wanted to ask. Food for thought. And then by the end of this, I hope, I pray, that perhaps your answers, specifically in dealings with yourself, will perhaps have changed. So let's talk respect. If I were to have, you know, the banner behind me here, Clothed in Honor. This is the title, Clothed in Honor, the Colossian Call for Respect. Now I am doing, we're in the middle at the moment of a verse-by-verse Bible study walking through the entire book of Colossians. And we go through it verse-by-verse because this is a fantastic way to study Scripture, to look at specifically its understanding in its cultural context, and then to look at application for us also. But as you go through, you do see themes. You do see, you might call them topical illustrations, which point out other things that you may not sort of necessarily say, well, this, look, I see this in this verse. It actually expands across a few. And I noticed as I was going through that, that, well, the Colossians, of course, they were dealing with this incredible problem. They didn't even know it was a problem. Paul, seeing it through the Holy Spirit, then wrote to them this letter that we have here. And the problem was that they didn't respect the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that because both through cultural history and also through Scripture, we see that they were dealing with something which we call syncretism. Now, syncretism, coming from also, you know, synchronize, synchromatic, and so on, in place, together, meaning of equal value, equal timing, so to speak. And what was happening in Colossae was that their philosophical thoughts, their beliefs, were in step with everything, meaning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, this is good, but we have Jesus, and then we have plus philosophical thought. We have the gospel of Jesus plus Jewish secularism. We have Jewish culturalism. We have Jewish law, Jesus plus these things. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ plus an asceticism, which is disciplining of the body in such manner that we feel, if I can just, you know, be harsh and discipline my body, this will bring me closer to Christ. And I see that this is the problem they were having then, and we discuss in far more detail in the current Bible study series. But if you look around at the modern church, I see these things creeping in as well, where thoughts and belief systems of the world are being drawn into the teaching in the church and considered of equal value. Jesus plus psychology, for example. Jesus plus this book. Jesus plus this seminar will bring you closer to Christ, when the seminar has really on its own stand up nothing to do with Jesus. Yes, we see these things, and this is what they were dealing with in Colossae. In chapter 2, verse 8, Paul tells us that we are not to be cheated through vain philosophies, empty deceit. No, do not be cheated, he says. And so in Colossae, they were dealing with this mishmash, this soup pot, if you will, of all the ingredients thrown in, all different cultures and all different beliefs being of equal value to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the problem with that is it makes you look at your flesh. It makes you look at things of the world instead of Jesus Christ. So today I want to dig in and ask the question, why, on the topic of respect, is respect so important? And specifically, as I mentioned earlier, biblical respect. Well, if you're taking notes, I have three things very quickly. Number one, true respect. True respect is grounded in identity, not in image. See, we look outside here, and I'm looking at my window and figuratively thinking of the things outside. It's all about this outer experience. It's all about the outer man. And the questions that I asked up front, they were dealing primarily with the outer man. Maybe as we come and we close that circle and people get to see a little more of the inside man. But it's all about, you know, it's all about appearances. It's all about the type of clothes that you wear, the car that you drive. It's all about the, you know, the house that you live in, self-promotion. But these things, they're hollow. They're hollow. A respectful man, this is what I want you to see. A respectful man is a man of substance. Point number two, which I want you to keep in this framework, is respect. The respect in the man strengthens families. Whereas the opposite, a disrespectful man, of course, can destroy the family. A disrespectful father, a disrespectful husband, or a son can just tear apart and damage family relationships. But when a man loves his wife, when a man respects his wife, when a man loves and respects his children, his parents, he creates this place of safety, the place of stability. And that, oh, these are qualities that are so desperately needed in the modern house. The key, of course, respect, yes, it is reciprocal, but it must be modeled first. Point number three, respect in the Christian man. And this is who we're talking to today. This is what we're dealing with. Let's get to the meat of the matter. Respect in the Christian man reflects a reverence for God. Because biblical respect, folks, it's not just good manners. It's just not a pleasant appearance. It begins with a heart's posture towards God. It begins with this attitude. And when a man submits to God's authority, he learns to submit to that rightful authority then on earth here and walk humbly in such manner. A lack of respect, and we see it every day, lack of respect represents and illustrates a deeper spiritual deficiency. So the question, I guess, that comes to mind for me now is this. How do we become? How do we become that man of respect? I don't know if you ever met someone who would, you know, you would say, yes, that was a man of respect. I respect them. I have had that experience, look, a few times over life, but now in Christ. I think of my wife's grandfather. He passed a few years ago. I only had opportunity to meet him really three times. And we sat down for coffee. The first time, of course, I was at the coffee shop and he came in. And the first time I got introduced to him, I was just dating at the time. And we had a coffee and we got to meet and talk. And then a little while later, and then before he passed, knowing that his time was growing short, he said, Paul, I want to talk to you. Let's catch up. Let's talk. I want to make sure that you're going to look after my eldest granddaughter. And this man, whom I only met these three times, really, I say now with absolute honor and respect, if I could be just half the man in Christ that he was, oh, God has done a good thing in me. And I've met many men over the years, and in my business career have trained and mentored many men over the years, and they've asked me all sorts of questions. How do I make more money? How do I do this? How do I do that? All business related, but not one has asked me, how do I become a man of respect? So that's the question I want to answer today. Get in here for you. Number one, respect starts. This is key. With a reverence for Christ. That deep, deep understanding. And let me just read through. We're going to go through the book of Colossians, not the whole thing. Wish we did have time. We can do that, of course, verse by verse. Come back and join me on the others. But turn to Colossians chapter 1 for me. I want to read just a few verses here, from verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, he speaking of Jesus. Now, this is our God. I think this section of Scripture best explains who our God is in a nutshell. Speaking, of course, now of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. That verse alone we could do an entire sermon on, understanding our God. Verse 17, and he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things consist. Give some thought to that for a moment. All things consist. This microphone in front of me, the chair that I'm sitting on, the table that I have before me. All things. He holds the atoms together. He holds it together, every single thing. And we go back in time to that day of the crucifixion, and he's carrying that cross. And he is holding together the fibers of the timber of the cross that he bore. And the shreds of bone and metal at the end of the whip that tore into his flesh as he took those stripes for us, that he held that together. And the fist that struck him, that he held that together for us. In him all things consist. And he, verse 18, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, never to die again. And in all things, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And it pleased the Father, it says here in Scripture, that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And we see further explanation in chapter 2, the fullness of the Godhead bodily to dwell in him. And it pleased the Father. This is who our God is. All things we read, all things created through him, all things created for him, all things created by him. And this word in the Greek, all things, pas, P-A-S, pas, means both individually and collectively, all things. The totality of all things referred to here, literally all. And what is this, though? What has this got to do with respect? Point number one, respect starts with reverence of God. Respect is first vertical before it is horizontal. Reverence for Christ, reverence for Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as our God. This is what must shape our understanding of authority. We must get it from him first. This is what shapes our understanding of authority, and then, of course, of humility, and then, of course, submission. And when we spend time in prayer and reading of the Word, and when we truly acknowledge God as our Lord, truly, then we can honor others, not because of who they are, but because of who he is. I remember, I was trying to think of an illustration, perhaps. I've grown up, young adult. My first, you know, home out of home, shared home, couple of friends. One of my friends, honestly, it's the age. I don't even remember his first name, but I do remember his nickname, Arnie. From Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is what we called this guy, Arnie, because he was 6'5", shoulders across here, and literally a commando. And this was the time when the movie Commando came out. This was Arnie. And he was one of the Red Berets, which is the paratroopers based south of Wollongong, of the 2nd Commando Regiment here in the Australian Army. And this is what he did. He was, you know, literally one of the best of the best of the best. Sir, that was him. And I remember him teaching me, now I already had this beautiful respect for our Australian military here because of history and my family. But he, of course, would say that he would salute, not because of the man, but because of the uniform and the respect for the uniform and the respect for the rank and the respect for the military, that this just oozed from him. And that, again, it's both the outer but also the inner. And even that is an illustration. It doesn't even come close to who our God is. It's just figurative. But our respect for others stems from God's authority in our lives overall. And then what? Where do we go from here? Well, respect, starting vertical, then going horizontal. Our respect, it is shaped by our relationships. And if you turn over in my Bible, it's just over on the next page here in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to see some instruction now on Paul as to how we are to behave within, you know, to other members of the church, our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 12, we see here, therefore, meaning following on from everything that was written beforehand, as the elect of God, us, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, oh, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. These are qualities that we are to put on. And if you read the beforehand, starting, of course, it says, therefore, you see about qualities, not just physical qualities, but heart's attitudes, qualities that we are to put off. In the same manner you would put off a coat, then put on that new man as we are. The context here is we've been buried with Christ, that we have died with Christ through baptism, raised again to new life. Now put on, therefore put on these things. But then verse 14, above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And I love this, and be thankful. You here today, right now, wherever you are, whatever your position, understand this, that you are in Christ, a son of the living God, a daughter perhaps of the living God. Be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is thanks. And whatever you do, in word or deed, here's the key, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we see here both the physical, these characteristics that we are to put on, but we cannot put them on unless we have the internal, which is the correct and rightful heart and attitude towards God. And that, of course, comes from understanding who he is. Respect first comes from the vertical and then goes horizontal. And as we look at these, you know, we look at them and this instruction as to how we are to behave. This is why. This is one of many reasons why it is so important that we do not forsake the fellowshipping with others, as is the manner of some, Paul writes in Scripture. We need each other. Because I can promise you, he wrote long-suffering when it comes to dealing with some members in the church. He wrote tender mercies. He wrote bear with one another, forgive one another. Oh boy, if you've been around church any time, these are qualities that you need to put on, but you can only put them on. Because respect, yes, for what God is doing in their life also. Respect is first an attitude before it is an action. And if you're taking notes, jot that down. Respect is first an attitude before it is an action. And so we take it from our fellowship with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, this opportunity, and then we take it to our families. Point number three. Respect, of course, comes through the families. And this is our training ground. Let's continue on Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, none of them here today, of course. Men's breakfast, I'll say, so we pass this one. But wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, most men would think that's instruction to them. That's instruction to us. But then we also have husbands. Love your wives. Do not be bitter towards them. This is interesting. So Paul outlines how we are to behave around and with believers and then digs in deeper to wives. And the Greek word here, submit. Wives, submit. Now, submit, like many of our English words, can have a different meaning in different contexts. This is not in the military sense, where you have to submit. It's used in that manner elsewhere, yes, but not here, not in Colossians. Here it is, it's using what's called the middle or the passive voice. It is a choice. It is submit by choice, to submit oneself, to obey, to be subject to by choice. That is what we see here. And so we keep reading verse 19, husbands, love your wives, do not be bitter towards them. I love also in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we see instruction to wives, yes. But we see instructions immediately following to husbands, yes. Simple point. And I've heard messages and sermons on this, but I'm going to snapshot all of those with one simple statement. You need to be the kind of man whom your wife willingly chooses to submit to. Why? Because of respect. Food for thought. You need to lead with love, sacrificial love, not selfish control. The man who puts his wife's needs above or before his own actually reflects Christ's love for the church, yes? And if you know, once you understand who God is and what he has done through Christ for us, that is so much easier. And it makes respect makes submission a response to love, not a response to fear. You don't want that. We have to practice consistent humility. I wish we had more time. I'm going to take a little more time, but not too much. I wish we had more time. Folks, you need to listen to your wives. For those of you who are married, you need to listen to your wives. And oh boy, foot in mouth disease. Yes, I suffer from this one too. I don't even need to go into the stories. You know them. Foot in mouth disease for us men, it's a problem. But we need to listen to our wives. When a man listens, when we listen, our wives feel valued. They feel that we respect them. 1 Peter 3:7 says that we are to give honor to our wives as they are joint heirs, being heirs with us in the grace of life. This is interesting. And then says that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this is, of course, the thing about, well, sin is an overall thing. Sin hinders our prayers, can separate us from God if it's ongoing unrepentant. So can disrespect between husband and a wife. It hinders our prayers because we know that there's something that we're not doing that we should. But understand this. All things, these things, they are forgivable. Both by the person, most certainly from God. We need to create a safe environment, a place where respect can grow. And we must lead reciprocal, yes, but we lead and model. Another thing, the respectful husband, the respectful father. You need to be spiritually dependable and morally grounded. End of story. I could walk away. That'd be the end of the video right here, right now. Spiritually dependable, morally grounded. A man who works with God, who makes good and wise and sound decisions and remains steadfast, steady in trials. That man inspires confidence. That man makes it easier for a wife to follow his leadership with peace and not with resistance. That man. Where does that man come from? He comes from an understanding of who God is in our lives and what he has done. This book, these words, we call it the Holy Bible. It is Holy Scripture, instruction to us, revealing to us who Jesus is and who we are in him. Continue on, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So here we see it again, two examples. Mutual obligation, cause and effect. Wives, submit. But it's not standalone. It's reciprocated by husbands, love. Then we see it, children, obey, followed by fathers, do not provoke. We have an obligation also. The home is the training ground for respect. Yes? Then we take it further. We take it from the family out. We begin with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our training ground, furthermore then also in the family, and then we take it out. Because I can tell you now, the Christian man who shows contempt for his wife but courtesy to his boss or customers does not understand biblical respect. Not at all. Not situational. It's internal. It's spiritual. It's relational. Respect is first an attitude before it is an action. So if your actions, your fruit, are disrespectful, guess what's inside? Continuing on, just quickly, instruction in the workplace. Servants, obey in all things, from verse 22, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just when they're looking, not as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Come on, folks. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Yes, your boss may be your employer, but God is your provider. Never forget that. Knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality. So masters, we have instruction here also, both to servants, then we see masters. So this is to the workers and now to the bosses. Give your bondservants that which is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. And he is just. And he is fair. And this is curious. I'm going to wrap up with this. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door, for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Where is Paul as he's writing this? He's in prison. Notice that his prayer is that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. This is the word. His prayer isn't, help me get out of here, folks. Help me get out of this trial. Help me get out of prison. Please pray that I get out of prison. No. His prayer is that the word would go forth, in a sense that God's will be done even in this trial. Walk in wisdom, he says, towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. This is us. We are to walk in wisdom for those who are outside the body of Christ, redeeming and understanding the time, that the time is indeed short. We don't know their time. We don't know our time. Only God does. And verse 6, let your speech always be with grace. That's love. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And just a final thought, seasoned with salt. I think so many of us get this wrong. Salt, too much salt, it's repulsive. But just enough salt makes you thirsty. And we know that the Spirit, of course, is the water of life. Jesus, the woman at the well. If anyone should drink of the water that I have, they will thirst no more. We now, our words to those who are outside the body of Christ, not yet believers, our words are to be with grace, with love, and then seasoned with salt, just enough that they might be thirsty for what? This natural water? No, thirsty for the things of God. For the water of life, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, forgiveness, love. The difference between a worldly man and a Christian man, it's not how he acts in church. It's how he speaks to his wife and his children. It's how he speaks to his co-workers. When there's no one from the church around watching. It's how he serves behind the scene. It's how he treats strangers. It's how he treats his boss subordinates. Respect, it's not a cultural trend. It doesn't come and go. It's now been lost in our culture. Be your own truth. Walk your truth. Do it your way. I. That's what it is now. But respect for us has to be a Christ-like trait. For us, it has to begin with a heart submitted to the absolute supremacy of Christ. The absolute supremacy, it has to be practiced in our closest relationships and then proven in our daily conduct. So for us, if we are to regain, this is to answer the questions from the beginning, especially for how do you feel about yourself. You need to understand how God feels about you. Conversation for another day. If we are to reclaim the manhood that honors God, we must return to lives which are marked by deep respect, starting with our respect for Jesus and his revealed word, because this is what reveals him to us. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining with me. I pray God bless you. I pray God be with you, give you peace, and that you walk with him in these days ahead, and that he leads you and you learn and you show his respect for others. In Jesus' name I pray, and give him all the glory for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.